Deuteronomy. And I'm going to talk about when you go to inherit the land. When you go to inherit the land. God's going to give a bunch of instructions about what to do when they get into the promised land. He's doing this all way before they go in. All the verses about going into the land we're going to read are beforehand. And I think that's important to note because he's going to... There's certain things you want to prepare for beforehand. And for example, if I said, hey, we're going to go somewhere and we're going to drive up and we're going to go as far up on Mount Rainier as we can. Well, you'd want to know that ahead of time, right? You wouldn't want to get in the car. And then I say, all right, we're going up as far on Mount Rainier as we can. Then you're in trouble. You got your Seattle windbreaker and your Seattle sandals. And you're in trouble. So he's going to tell them, when you get there, here's what I want you to do. Here's what you're going to need to do when you get in the land. And so we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 10. We'll read the lengthy passage. And just to get all that he says to us, and we'll return to some of this in here. And you can pay attention and see some things God has for us as we go in today. By the way, the promised land in the Old Testament is likened to, in Hebrews 2 and 3 and other places, it's likened to the victorious Christian life, okay? Egypt is the world, and you come out of the world through salvation, the Red Sea, cross the Red Sea, and then you go, some people wander in the wilderness and don't go into the victorious Christian life, and then some cross Jordan and go into the promised land. But in the promised land, there's many battles to go into victory. And so some wander around in mediocrity and some wander around wasting time in lukewarmness because they don't want to go in and fight the battles of the victorious Christian life. But actually, just walking around and dying off is not nearly as glorious as going and knocking down walls of giant cities. And so when they go in, they're supposed to do certain things. When God gives them that land, in verse 10, and it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, which that would happen to me, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and when thou shall have eaten to be full. Now, remember, this is to us, too, and written for our admonition, things that when we're going to go into the Christian life, the victorious Christian life, things that we want to do when we get there and be prepared ahead of time. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in his sight, in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh of thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded to you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord shone sign and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in and give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as unto this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. We'll talk about when you get into the land. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people who've come tonight for this service, Lord. Thank you for this day in December, just an important day, Father. This is the day you've made. We're not to think of tomorrow. So, Lord, we don't know what might happen today. We don't know when you're coming back. We don't know a lot of things, Father. So, Lord, this is an important service. This is the maybe the last service we ever get to attend, Father. And we just pray that you would move in our midst, that you control my mind, all of our minds, that we would hear from heaven the word of God, and that thy spirit would speak to us, that we would be prepared and learn both the simple Bible teaching of these stories and these truths, and also the application to our lives, and personal inspiration from your spirit, Lord, for us, Lord. May we leave tonight when we get done, at whatever time we finish up, Lord, with us ready to face whatever the devil has, with some evil work being undone in our life, with us being drawn closer to you, with us more prepared for eternity. For some of us who might this week leave you and forsake you, that we wouldn't. We would get speaking to that would keep us, that mighty things would happen in every direction and in a mighty way through your word and through your spirit. Please, Lord, I give myself to you. Just use me and say what you once said in Jesus' name. Amen. These instructions were all before they were going to the promised land. And he just gives some things in this passage and several others. The Lord in Deuteronomy and Exodus, especially those two books, he really talks to them a lot about when you go and inherit the land, when you get into this land, do this thing, don't do this thing. And he really gives them several instructions. And there's a lot of them, but they all kind of boil down to the same few things that they should do to make sure that they do that. And tonight we're not dealing with it, but he takes great lengths, especially in Deuteronomy, that says, don't do these things, because if you do these bad things are going to happen. You're going to lose your land, and you're going to be scattered. And he says, this is the way he phrases it in Deuteronomy. He says, I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you do my words, a curse if you disobey me. A blessing to stay in the land and to be fruitful if you stay in the promised land. If you disobey me, I'll bring enemies against you and they're going to destroy you. And it'll be a curse and you will be destroyed and your land will be destroyed. And we're not dealing with that tonight. What the Lord is doing is preparing them so they can inherit the blessing when they got there. And the first thing really that I want to focus on is he tells them to remember to remember. Remember to remember when you get there. And he emphasizes that. Chapter 6 and verse 12. Verse 10 and 11 are real important, but let's just do 12 right now. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Remember to remember. Then down to verse 20 and 21. And when thy son asketh at a time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies and these statutes and these judgments which the Lord our God commanded you? Then thou shalt say to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He says, I want you to remember, I want you to remind your kids. And I want you to go into the promised land, and do not forget the Lord your God when you inherit all these things. And then later, turn to Joshua, let's see, it's just a couple books forward here, and Joshua chapter 4. As they crossed over, they made some reminders there. This is entering the promised land. The River Jordan, they were on the east side of it. As soon as they crossed the River Jordan, they're in Canaan land, where they're going to meet their enemies. And that they're there in victory, going into victory, and they're getting ready to face Jericho. And right when they cross that river is the special crossing from mediocrity to victory. And they start going in. And in chapter 4 of Joshua, they decide to remember this in a certain way. In verse 4, and Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared to the children of Israel, one of every tribe. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And this may be a sign among you that when your children ask in their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? And he shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant, and God brought us in here. And so they carry these stones across. Why? So they could remember when God brought them across the Jordan. So they all had these 12 stones to remember the Lord and to remember the crossing there into the promised land. Remember what the Lord did for you and what you have learned at the transforming time in your Christian life. Now, this is really there's a couple things I really want to emphasize in this message, and this is one of them. If you've come out of the world and God's taking you, I know you haven't arrived yet, neither have I, but God's taking you out of the world and you've experienced some of going into the victory of the Christian life and experienced some of the, this is what serving God is like. And boy, the world is kind of behind me and I'm on the right track and I'm going to church and I'm starting to read a Bible and learn. I'm in this new life now. Then that's good. If that's where you are, here's the thing, is you want to, when you get over here, not forget what God taught you here to bring you into here. Okay? What God used to bring you into here and what God did for you to bring you out of your old life, you want to remember. It's very important biblically. Well, now, read other verses a little later on this, but these things are not passé now. The things that God used in your life, the things that God spoke to you, and the events that happened, and the things that God brought to your mind, and how God brought you out miraculously, those things are not passé. They're going to be important to your mind and to your spiritual life later on, and if you forget those things, you'll be back here. And God constantly reminded Israel. You know how many different ways the Bible reminded Israel? Think of holy days. Think of the Passover. Think of all these different events. Think how many times God referred back and said, remember when I parted the Red Sea? Did you forget who I was? Do not forget to remember what God did for you. When you remember how you were lost and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's important to remember your salvation. When God brought you miracles to bring you back to Him, and all of a sudden you're away from Him and He brought that person into your life miraculously and you got right with God, remember that. Do not forget that. Remember how you didn't know what the answer was or how to have victory. And then that one sermon God spoke to your heart or however God did it and what He did for you. Never forget. Remember to remember what the Lord did for you. He says, I want you when you get there not to forget me. Not to forget me. There are certain things that become the foundation of what you do and what you believe and how you make it and how you always sing and remember those things. How Paul always went back to his testimony. It's in so many spots in the Bible. You want to never get away from the vital things that are foundational to the Christian life. When you get too deep where the beginning things, the first works aren't there anymore, you're in big trouble spiritually. And I want to get back to that. I think, Jess, you were telling me that your grandpa, who was the pastor at the end of his life, his mind started going a little bit, but he's still pastoring. And you told me for a long time at the end, his messages went back to basically two things. And was it soul winning and prayer? But what, if it's something else, tell me. It's fine if it's something else.
Preaching the word.
Yeah.
It was kind of the three of them.
Okay. And he was getting way up there in years, pastored forever, started the church out there in northern Wisconsin. And as he got the end of his life, and he remembered three things that were always those three things with him. And that's why he finished his course. Because those things were never forgotten back then, and now he was too deep for those things. You're not too deep for the foundational things of the Christian life. Remember to remember. Remember not to forget the Lord when you get there. And remember that. Why would you forget God? And I'm going to get a little ahead of the message here. Why would you forget God? Let's go back and look at the context there, why we'd forget God. Verse 10, and when it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land that he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, this is Deuteronomy 6 again, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, then when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. lest you forget. Anybody want to guess why God says then beware lest you forget? Dave?
Because you have a lot of prosperity and you just go with that.
Okay.
Thinking that the Lord gave you that prosperity.
Okay, very good. That's a huge chunk of it. Go ahead.
You don't have any troubles that are forcing you to look at him.
Very good. Those two things. Exactly it. Nail on the head. You don't need God anymore. You don't think you do. You do need God. But you don't remember it because there's not Jericho in front of you. And you think, and you look at the things and you're settled in and comfortable and not worried anymore. You've got fullness. And the Bible says, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and forget thee. Or lest I be too poor and go steal. You get a lot and you get an abundance and you forget God. You remember your things in front of you. And he says, when you get there and it's going to be rich and blessed, don't forget the Lord there. I want to say, it's one of the things that I've seen in a certain percentage, I couldn't put a percentage on it, of Christians. There are certain Christians who always need to struggle. As soon as they quit struggling, those Christians, I don't know if it's 30% or 50%, but it might not be that high, maybe 30, 35%. I don't know. Maybe depending on where you are or what Christians you're around. But they, every time things start going good, they forget God. And pretty soon, things got to get bad again. And then when it gets bad, praise the Lord. You know what they do? They start praying. And they remember God. And they get back to God. And praise God. God does it. And God's faithful. Doesn't matter how good a plan they got. They get to the top and everything. And they got all secure. And they're like, God, who? Church, what? Sunday? That's my day to relax. I've worked so hard and done so great. Look how great I've done it. And God goes, they say, oh, Lord, my life's falling apart. Lord, I need you so bad. And they start growing spiritually again, and they're back at church serving the Lord. You know, I want to be able to just remember God without him having to splat me. I just want to be that spiritual. Because I want to say, in my own life, I know this. Though when God's blessed me and things have gone well, I've not forgotten the Lord. I do know this. When I'm struggling and clawing and fighting in a spiritual war, I find I'm growing and learning. I never forget God during those times. I have to pray. Now, hopefully I'm disciplined enough and love the Lord enough that I'll pray and read my Bible and be faithful to church because I'm hungry for the Lord and all those things. And that's good. And hopefully I have that. But I do know that when the battle is there and the enemy's attacking, we're more careful. I hope you know there's seasons of attack. Sometimes you're in the wilderness. And in those times, you need to be more careful. But when everything's going good and just fine, and I mean, I literally, right now, there is someone in an open door who, when everything's going wrong, they are always here, and they are not here right now. Because everything's going good for them. Just, I have one of those right now. And will I pray that things don't go good for him? You better believe it. Yeah, I'd rather rescue their soul. And by the way, you don't forget to pray about it. God remembers. And it usually crumbles with them. And I want to say, when God has blessed you, when you don't, quote, need God anymore, then at least appreciate him enough that he did enough to take you out of where you were and helped you to stick with him when you don't need him. What kind of friend is it that only calls you when they need you? Don't be that kind of friend to God. Call him when you don't need him. And I know you always need him, but I mean when your bills are paid and your health is good and your wife's cooking breakfast in bed. I mean when life's good. I mean, everything's great. That's fictional. And you want breakfast and bread, huh? Here's some coffee. When all that's good, when God's being good and everything's going great, you know what? Remember God and thank him and praise him. God deserves you to always give him attention, but God knows human nature. He says, hey, when you get in there and inherit these things and get all these blessings, remember, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And he says to do that. Number two, trust the Lord to make the way. Let's go back to Exodus. Trust the Lord. So he's telling them, you're going to go in the promised land. You're going to go there. Trust me to make a way for you to get there. And remember not to forget. By the way, let me go back to that just for a sec. Not don't forget. It's remember not to forget. And there's a difference there. Why? Because God put a bunch of landmarks for them to remember by. Put the altars here. Have the Passover. Have the feasts. Remember this. He put a bunch of markers to remember that. And listen, you got to remember to remember. And so find a way to remember what God did for you. And you might just write in your calendar, the 30th every month, remember your salvation. I mean, just somehow discipline yourself to remember. Number two, trust the Lord to make the way. Exodus chapter 33. God's going to make a way for them to go in this promised land. It's not just their job. Verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Go back to Deuteronomy. Just got you to Exodus, and I turn into Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Don't know why I've never noticed this. You probably have. It was just where we read in earlier in Deuteronomy 6, but I want to go to Deuteronomy 12. And notice verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so you shall dwell in safety. Then shall there be a place that the Lord your God shall choose to put his name there. And he's going to go into the temple and things. Little word that was interesting there to me. It's the word inherit. Inherit. And he says, verse 10, when you go over Jordan to dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit. He used the same word as Abraham. Inherit. And he said several times, when I put you in your land for the children of Israel to inherit. Now, you ready? The same word, I looked it up. Inherit is the same word we use for inherit. Inheriting is a lot easier. How many ever got an inheritance? How many are not going to admit it? I'm not going to ask for anything. Don't worry. And come to think of it. My wife got a little inheritance a year ago. And so that went quick. And so you get an inheritance. It's just given to you. Just plop. After in America, legal battles. You inherit it. God says, you're going to inherit this land, which I give you. I will take you into this land. I will give you rest. I want you to understand, God said, trust me. I know there's giants there. I know there's walled cities, but I'm going to bring you into this land, he says, and you're going to inherit all these great crops and all these blessings and all this wealth. You're going to inherit it. He makes the way. He gives these things to us. So I want you to understand, the victorious Christian life is your inheritance if you'll go in. God wants to give you the victory, and God will prepare the way. Now, you got to go fight the enemies, but you know what I want to tell you? They had to walk up and go, and there was Jericho, and they had to fight against Jericho. However, God made the walls fall down. So you have to do something, but God is there to go before you to prepare the way. So he says, hey, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to prepare the way for you, and you're going to inherit the land. What does that mean? It means do not be afraid. God's going to give it to us. And the biggest way to stay out of the promised land, according to Numbers 13 and 14, when the spies came back, is to not believe you can win and make it in the promised land. And the quickest way to not make it into victory in the Christian life is to say, I can't. It's too hard. I'm not strong enough. God says, I will give you this land. You need to trust the Lord to make a way for you to get there. And God said, go in. I will make a way. You will inherit this land. I can make it. But I want to say, the key is, you have to obey and go. The victories are not done before you get there. Jericho's walls are up when you cross Jordan River and run into Jericho. But you stepping in obedience and going into where God wants you to go will bring you victory, but you don't get the victory before you get there. So many people say, I can't go in, I'm not strong enough. No, you're not, but God's going to prepare a way. Just a couple ways he prepares the way for us. Go back to Exodus again. And again, Exodus is going to prepare us as is Deuteronomy. Exodus chapter 23. This is good stuff. Exodus 23. God prepares the way, first of all, by weakening your enemies. By weakening your enemies. Exodus 23, verse 27. And I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and will make all mine enemies to turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in a year. I'll get back to that in the next point. But notice that. He says, I will weaken your enemies before you get to them. I will send hornets before you. Wouldn't that be great in war? You're coming to your enemies, they've been stung, and a hornet's been stinging them and stinging them. You ever been attacked by a bunch of bees? It's not fun. I was mowing a lawn one time. I turned a corner, bumped against something in a tree, and knocked it again. Then started mowing, all of a sudden I got stung. I turned around, and that was one of those hornet's nests sitting in the tree, and I was bumping my shoulder against the opening of it. And they didn't like it. And they went after me, and that was their mistake. Because then they stung about four times, and that was the end of their life. I said, that hornet nest is dead if I die in the process. So I destroyed their hornet's nest for stinging me. Should have left me alone. And I got revenge, forgive me. And so, how many ever destroyed a bee's nest or hornet's nest? How many thought it was fun? Here we go. That's a man right there. And so you go and God's sending these hornets, and they're stinging them and attacking them. Their enemies are weakened before they get to them. The second way he prepares the way for you is by pacing you to what you can handle. Look at this same, we're in Deuteronomy. Look at, I've turned to so many passages here. Deuteronomy chapter, we can look at this passage here. Let's see. I lost my page because I turned my page. Are we in Exodus or Deuteronomy? Oh, I'm in Deuteronomy again. Let's go back to Exodus. And that same passage, chapter 23. I know where it is in the page. It's right there. And verse 29, and I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. Why? Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little will I drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Do you understand why God did that? But when they walked into an orchard, they weren't going to go and just plow all the enemies out of the way. They were going to plow, and then the orchard would be still there, and they'd take over the orchard. And they'd plow some more and go kill some more enemies. They would be weakened. They would take over the land, and they would continue to have babies, and their young men would get old enough, and the girls would get old enough to work, and they'd be able to work the vineyard now. And they would keep on taking it up. Why? Because they went too fast. They didn't have enough people. The land had become desolate, and the animals had increased, and they wouldn't be able to take care of the crops, and things would rot. So he says, I know your strength, and I know what you can handle. So I'm gonna let you go along little by little, and I'm going to make you increase and go into the promised land and get victory after victory at the rate that you can handle. So the key to that is God says, go in. I'm preparing the way for victory for you. But I can't. The giants are too big. The walls are too big. I can't fight those enemies. God says, go in. I will make a way. You say, okay, make a way and I'll go in. He says, doesn't work that way. That's not faith. Faith goes in. God says, all right, now you're in. Walls fall down. And God says, okay, bees increase by millions and go sting those guys. And God says, I'm going to make it so you can make it. You know how few people I ever see go into the Christian life and decide, I'm going to be a good Christian, I'm going to do the things God wants me to do, and ever not make it? The only people who don't make it is the ones who stand here and say, I can't make it. Those who try find out God made a way for them to make it. You say, I can't quit my addiction. Go in and watch how your addiction is weakened. But you got to decide to have victory. You got to decide to go in. Before you go in, understand, I'm going to make a way for you, so go in. Don't be afraid. Three times, we talked about last week, and Joshua, three times in a row. Joshua, be strong and courageous, because I'm going to make a way for you. They got the power and blessings as they obeyed, not a Joshua. They got the power and blessings as they obeyed. Joshua 3. Now they've been told all this. Now Joshua's got to practice it. And Joshua, it's time to cross the Jordan. What does Joshua do? Verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed. They started going. That's the hardest step right there. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 7. The Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Ready? You're going to be the man who can lead. I'm going to make it so you can lead these people. When did he get the ability to lead them? When he started. He could have done what we would have done. Lord, I can't lead 3 million people. I am not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. He would have never got in. He's all right, guys. God said to go in. Everybody up. Rise up early. That's when you get up before the sun doesn't pop up at noon. And you get up early and you start going. And all of a sudden, God says, Joshua, now that you've started going, I'm magnifying you in all their sight. They're going to say, what an amazing leader. Joshua's probably saying, how am I going to do this? But I'm going to obey. And when he started going, the answer came. And God magnified him because he obeyed. Because God does not bring the victory for those who disobey in fear. God will make a way. Look at verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and just give you context here, they're going to walk across Jordan, the river. The river is high, it's flowing. They got to carry the Ark of the Covenant, a gold-covered piece of wood on their shoulders. They got to go first, and they've got to go and cross this river into the Promised Land. Talk about taking the step of faith. They've got to cross it, and what happens? As soon as their foot, not before, not when they decided to cross, not when they got there, as soon as the first Levite's foot went into the water parted. When they obeyed. And then everybody's able to follow them in. and we see, it's verse 15. And when they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at this time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far from the city of Adam. It's pretty good. You notice, though, when their feet touched, you know what that is? Blessing when you obey. How many people have we watched who said, finally decided they're tired of living in financial crisis and debt? They say, I'm going to dig out of debt. And it looks like it's going to take them 10 years, but just them obeying, God opens the door, and they're out of debt in two. Amen. Why? Because they chose to obey, and God blessed their obedience. Instead of saying, I just never do that. I can't. God prepares the way. Oh, that's so good. And God does that. Number three, keep on track once you are there. Let's go back to Exodus. Keep on track once you're there. Already kind of said this, but we're going to read some verses and talk a little bit about it. It's our last point. Exodus chapter 12 in verse 25. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep his service. And it shall come to pass, when your children say, why are we doing this service? Again, you've seen this before. By the way, I'm not reading the same passage, if you don't know that. I'm reading a different passage. See, God's saying this over and over. He says, keep the service. But this service is in particular is the Passover, but there's many services. He says, keep doing these things. Don't just do the Passover now that you've left Egypt and now you're out of Egypt in the wilderness. And yes, keep Passover now, but you're also going to keep it next year when you're in the Promised Land, and then the year after that, and the year after that. You're going to keep on doing the things that you were doing before you came in the Promised Land. Keep on doing these things. Exodus chapter 13. Verse 5, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers, to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service every month. And we can read other passages, but you get it. We've already read several already. Don't quit doing what it took to get you out of Egypt. Ephesus was told when they were going away from Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, repent and do the first works. So what do I tell a Christian who's been serving the Lord 25 years, is away from God? They know what's right. They know what they need to do. They know. They knew they drifted from God. And they know more Bible than me. What do I tell them to do? Okay, ready? You're going to need to read your Bible every day. And you're going to need to start a prayer life. And you're going to go to church every single service. Same thing I tell a new convert. Go to Bible, read your church. That's where people can't read very well. Open door and read your Bible. Now I mix myself up. Go to church. It's the first time everybody looked at me and paid attention when I messed up. Got the ADD going. So read your church, go to Bible, and pray. Yes, I said it wrong. I know it. Did I tell you about the dyslexic agnostic? He didn't know if there really was a dog. Anyway, you sit there and you do the very first works. Oh man, here I am. I'm having problems. I'm just anger problems, and I started going to church and everything the pastor preached against is I do. How did he know about it? My wife must have sent him notes. And I'm too terrible. Oh man, I've got to really pray. I've got to really get some good fellowship. And brother, can you pray for me? I'm struggling. Oh man, and I'm praying and reading the Bible now. Going to church all the time. I'm learning to serve people. Man, I'm doing these things. Man, I'm getting victory. This is good. This is good. Okay, now what do you do when you get here? Say, oh, I need some fellowship, brother. Can you be with me? I need to pray. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to go to church. I always laugh. People miss church like, no big deal. I'm strong. Stronger than me, that's for sure. I need church all the time. I need church all the time. And you keep on doing those works. You never get too mature as a Christian to read your Bible. Oh, but don't you just eventually just know the whole thing and don't need to read it? Uh-uh. It's the mind of God. I'm still learning things constantly from the Bible, let alone it's spiritual food. Even if I knew it all, I would still need to read it every day to eat spiritually and stay strong. And so keep on doing when you get into the promised land. Don't stop. Don't forget the Lord. Don't quit doing the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and don't forget to remember what happened and tell your kids about these things. Now let me take you to a New Testament passage and we'll finish up there. 2 Peter chapter 1. All I just taught you was in the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. You'll see the same things I'm teaching right now. Just kind of in one chapter a little bit here. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And just start at verse 5. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, that's growth, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience, you're still growing. And to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you know you're saved. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Ah, you already know this, huh? Guess what? I'm reminding you again. Second time. By the way, he's already told them, I'm going to remind you of this twice. Even though you know it. Because I don't want you to get away from it. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Are you getting the idea? Don't forget. Don't forget to do the first works. Don't forget your salvation. Don't forget how God delivered you. Don't forget how God revealed himself to you. Don't forget in the promised lands, you're going to say, but I'm settled now. I got the great crops. There's no more enemies here. I'm not fighting for food. Everything's settled. Don't forget God then. When you come there, need him and talk to him just as much as when you were getting ready to walk over that Jordan and said, what is going to happen over here? Stay remembering and needing God and begging God and fasting and praying and asking for help and seeking counsel and seeking wisdom and studying the Bible and praying and saying, Lord, I need you. Never stop doing those things when you get to where you're no longer just trying to not go back to your old life every day. Now you're going to church every time. Now you're faithful in your service. Now you know how to read your Bible. Now you know how to pray. Now you're not one step away from a drug addiction or one step away from jail or one step away from your back to your bitterness and anger. Okay, you're established now. You've got your crops. You've got the fruit trees. You're sitting there eating what you've inherited, the blessing, the Christian life that God gave you. Be diligent to remember what you need in God. Be diligent to keep on doing the first works. Be diligent to keep doing what got you here, or you'll be back dragged out of the promised land, exactly what happened to him, by the way, into defeat. You will never get any to where you don't need the basics that your life is founded on. You will never get where you do not need to be careful and sober and vigilant. Never. You'll always need to keep those things going. Don't take off your spiritual armor. The devil's not going to quit fighting. This he hasn't for me yet. Anybody here? Devil's quit fighting you. You're done. He's done with you. Okay. Then I think we better be diligent to prepare ourselves for when we get established as a Christian. Let's pray. Lord, we just saw that you prepared them in a few ways to go into that part of the Christian life and into the victory, into the promised land. And you knew human nature that once they got established, they'd probably get lazy in the spiritual exercises. You told them, make sure you keep these things and make sure that they remember. Now, Lord, we do the same thing, and we sometimes aren't careful, and sometimes we're not really worried. We're feeling pretty strong. Lord, help us to make sure we just every day do the things we need to do. Help us to always need you and know we need you, Father. Help us to depend upon you. Help us to pray to you. Help us to make sure we stay faithful in church. Help us to make sure we stay away from temptation. And keep on praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, we see some good truths in here for us today. Help us remember the victories are going to be given if we'll obey and go in. And help us to stay in victory once we get there. We thank you for these truths. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for these warnings in Exodus and Deuteronomy, Lord. Thank you for them. And we just pray that we would live in these things and be careful and enjoy our time in the promised land. In Jesus' name. Well, I think you kind of hear the message. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. But just to review, remember to remember. Trust the Lord to make the way. That means you got to go and believe him to get victory. And then keep on track once you are there. With those three truths, with God speaking to our heart, and maybe God's got some business for you to do with him, maybe you need to do some things, get back some things, maybe you need to start going in and say, you know what, I believe God can make a way to the promised land for me. We're going to have Jeremy come up here and play for us. He'll play Just As I Am. And if God spoke to your heart, those are the truths. That's what the Bible says. And as God spoke to your heart, I want you to respond to him. Be more careful. Tell him what you need to do. Maybe start going in faith and believing he'll take care of your enemies by the time you get there. They're not too big for you to conquer with God. But let's do some business with the Lord tonight. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's go ahead and play. Right now, come if God's speaking to your heart. Enter into the promised land. Come on in. Come on down. You get careless? Overconfident? Does God need to keep on having you fail again because you remember him because you forget him when things go good? Maybe you should pray just as much to keep your job as you did to get your job. Maybe you should pray for your family just as much when your family's doing okay as when your family was separated and falling apart. At least pray for your family every day. Remember to remember. When was the last time you thought about your salvation and thanked him for it? Have you been sitting there in defeat saying, I can't make it, and not obeying? When God would defeat your enemies before he got there, he would make them so weak that you'll conquer them. You'll do the fighting, yes, but you'll defeat them because God gives you strength. God will make a way when you decide to obey, but he will not until you decide to obey. If you say, I'll go in, if he'll fix everything, he doesn't work that way. That's not faith. You say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do this thing. Then God will give the victory once you start going in. Whether it's a family problem, financial problem, a sin problem,